Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back, everyone. Today we're doing a deep dive into, well, a really fascinating and maybe mind-bending book, Fritjof Capra's The Tao of Physics. Okay, let's unpack this one. The core idea Capra puts forward is pretty bold, isn't it? He suggests that the weird counterintuitive stuff from modern physics, quantum mechanics, relativity theory actually lines up incredibly well with ancient Eastern thought. You know, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism.
It really is a huge synthesis, and it's still so relevant because it hits right at the heart of how the West has tended to view the world for, what, 300 years, a sort of mechanical clockwork universe idea.
Right, everything broken down into separate parts.
Exactly. And Capra says, look, both modern physics and Eastern mysticism point towards something different, a holistic reality, everything interconnected, dynamic, constantly changing. Understanding that, he argues, is crucial if you want to tackle today's big, complex problems, whether it's climate change or even just personal well-being. You can't use the old fragmented map anymore.
That is a massive claim. I mean, bridging particle physics and ancient spiritual texts. You'd need someone pretty unique to even attempt that credibly. So who is Fritjof Capra? What's his background?
Well, first off, he's a physicist, a properly trained one. Austrian-born, got his PhD in theoretical physics in Vienna. He wasn't just dabbling. He did serious research in particle physics at places like Stanford and UC Santa Cruz. So he definitely has the scientific chops.
Okay, so he knows the science inside out. But why look east?
Yeah.
That's usually not part of the physics curriculum, right?
Right. And that's where his personal experience comes in. He talks about this really profound moment he had back in 1969. He was just sitting by the ocean, watching the waves, and he suddenly had this intense visualization.
A visualization.
Yeah, of the whole universe is this sort of constant, energetic, cosmic dance, everything flowing, creating, destroying, recreating. Not solid blocks, but pure energy in motion.
Right.
And then later, he comes across the Hindu image of Shiva Nataraja, the cosmic dancer, embodying that very same cycle of creation and destruction. And he realized, wow, my scientific intuition, this feeling I had, it's mirrored exactly in this ancient mystical symbol. That experience gave him this sort of dual perspective fluency in both the equations of physics and the more metaphorical language of mysticism.
That connection, feeling it first, then finding the parallel in science that seems key to the whole book. So if we boil the Tao of physics down, what's the fundamental question he's wrestling with?
He's basically asking, what does modern science really tell us about the nature of reality? And his answer comes in maybe three main parts. First, the old view, the classical Newtonian picture of separate solid things moving predictably. Physics itself completely blew that up in the 20th century.
Okay, so the old model is broken.
Totally broken at the fundamental level. Second, what replaced it? Modern physics shows reality isn't made of stuff so much as it's this inseparable web, a dynamic flow of energy patterns and relationships. Everything is connected.
So it's about the connections, the interactions, not the individual things.
Exactly. Process over substance, you could say. And then the third layer, which is the really provocative one, Capra argues that this new scientific picture, this interconnected, flowing reality, it's essentially a rediscovery of what Eastern mystics have been saying for thousands of years. Think of Brahman in Hinduism, the ever-changing Tao in Taoism, the interconnectedness in Buddhism.
Now, hold on a sec, because this is where people might push back, right? Is he just finding convenient metaphors in Eastern texts that kind of sound like physics concepts? Or is he arguing something deeper, like both method science and introspection actually uncovered the same basic structure of reality?
That's the critical point, and Capra argues for the structure. He's not saying, you know, that ancient texts predicted quantum field theory equations. He's saying the philosophical implications that flow from those equations, things like the universe being participatory, interconnected, constantly in flux, these are remarkably similar, maybe even identical, to the core philosophical insights of the Eastern traditions.
So the goal isn't just poetic comparison. It's about building an integrated worldview, moving past that split we often make between, you know, scientific and the spiritual mind and matter.
Precisely. A worldview that feels both scientifically sound and, well, spiritually meaningful.
All right, let's get into the specifics then.
Yeah.
How does he build this bridge? He starts with the big shifts in physics, right? Beginning with Einstein.
Yeah, he lays the groundwork with the way of physics. Yeah. Before Einstein, we had Newton's universe, comfortable, predictable, absolute space, absolute time, a big machine. Einstein comes along and, well, shatters that with relativity.
Space and time become space-time, this four-dimensional thing.
Right. But for Capra, the really mind-bending part philosophically is EMC, that famous equation.
What's the deeper meaning there, according to Capra?
Unity. It tells us mass and energy are fundamentally the same. They're interchangeable. What we perceive as solid matter isn't static stuff at all. It's just energy, kind of bound up in a pattern. Hmm. So the universe is inherently dynamic, energetic, right from the get-go. Matter itself is a process.
Okay, so relativity starts chipping away at the old view.
Yeah.
But then comes quantum mechanics, and things get really weird.
Oh, yeah. Here's where it gets really interesting, as Capra puts it. When physicists started probing the subatomic world, the basic building blocks of matter, classical descriptions just failed completely. Take an electron.
Okay.
Is it a particle, like a tiny little ball, or is it a wave spread out in space, quantum mechanics says?
Mm.
Well, it's both, and neither. It exhibits wave-particle duality.
But it depends on how you measure it.
Exactly. How you set up the experiment determines whether it behaves like a particle or behaves like a wave. You can't pin it down as being inherently one or the other before you measure it. It's like those optical illusions. You can see the duck or you can see the rabbit, but you can't quite grasp both at the exact same instant.
How does that challenge the idea of a solid object?
Well, a classical solid object has definite properties, right? It is a certain way, whether you look at it or not. But if an electron's fundamental nature is kind of fuzzy, sometimes particle-like, sometimes wave-like, then what does solid even mean at that level? It points to something more fluid, more potential, and this leads straight into the observer effect.
Ah, yes, the idea that looking changes things.
Right, and Heisenberg's uncertainty principle is part of this. You can't simultaneously know certain pairs of properties, like an electron's exact position and its exact momentum, with perfect accuracy. The more precisely you measure one, the fuzzier the other becomes. But even more fundamentally, the very act of observing or measuring a quantum system inevitably disturbs it.
Like trying to check tire pressure, letting air out, changes the pressure you're measuring.
Kind of like that, yes. You, the observer, are not a detached spectator just passively watching reality unfold. Your act of measurement is part of the process. It influences what you find.
So that classical ideal of the purely objective, detached scientist, it breaks down at the quantum level.
Completely. The sharp division between the subject, the observer, and the object, the observed world, a cornerstone of Western thought for centuries, it just dissolves. Physics itself reveals a participatory universe. And this, Capra points out, is precisely the viewpoint found in many Eastern mystical traditions.
Which brings us neatly to those parallels. Capra's favorite, the most vivid one, seems to be Shiva Nataraja.
It's such a powerful image for him. He connects it directly to quantum field theory. QFT tells us that even the vacuum, empty space, isn't truly empty. It's buzzing with activity.
Virtual particles.
Exactly. Particles are constantly emerging from the underlying energy field, existing for fleeting moments, and then annihilating back into energy. It's this unending rhythmic dance of creation and destruction at the most fundamental level.
And that mirrors Shiva's dance.
Perfectly. Shiva Nataraja embodies that cosmic rhythm, the ceaseless creation, preservation, destruction, and recreation of the universe. It's not a static thing. It's an eternal, dynamic process. Physics discovered this dance with equations. Hinduism expressed it through myth and art.
So Shiva captures the dynamic flow. What about the interconnectedness? You mentioned Buddhism earlier.
Right. A core concept in Buddhism is dependent origination, or pratitasamutpada. It basically states that nothing, absolutely nothing, exists independently on its own. Everything arises in dependence on other things. The universe is seen as this vast, intricate web of causes and effects where everything is mutually interconnected.
And the physics parallel there is?
Well, the most striking one is probably quantum entanglement. This is that spooky action at a distance, as Einstein famously called it.
Where two particles can be linked, and measuring one instantaneously affects the other, no matter how far apart they are, faster than light.
Exactly. It demonstrates this profound non-locality, this deep interconnectedness that seems to defy our everyday classical intuition about separate objects in separate places. It suggests the universe, at some fundamental level, might be an undivided whole.
Okay, dynamic flow from Shiva, interconnectedness from Buddhism. What about Taoism? How does that fit in?
Taoism brings in the concept of embracing paradox and complementary opposites, primarily through yin and yang.
Light and dark, active and passive.
Right, but crucially, they aren't seen as opposing forces in conflict. They're complementary aspects of a single unified reality, the Tao. They need each other, define each other, flow into each other. One can't exist without the other.
And this relates to physics how?
It provides a framework for understanding the principle of complementarity in physics, which Niels Bohr talked a lot about, like the wave-particle duality we mentioned. An electron isn't either a wave or a particle. You need both seemingly contradictory descriptions to fully understand its nature. They are complementary truths. Taoism's both-hand thinking offers a way to mentally grasp this kind of paradoxical reality that physics uncovered.
That's a really elegant synthesis. Okay, let's pull back a bit. If we were to summarize the absolute core themes, the big messages that bridge physics and mysticism in Capra's view, what would they be?
I think the first, and maybe the most important, is the unity and interconnectedness of all things. Reality isn't a collection of separate bits. It's an indivisible relational web. And thinking about this, for you listening, it implies that seeing your problems or global problems in isolation is maybe missing the point. If everything's connected, then maybe solutions also need to be interconnected systemic.
Right. You can't just fix one part without affecting the whole. Okay, what's the second theme?
The dynamic nature of reality. The universe isn't static substance. It's process, flow, energy. It's that cosmic dance.
And the takeaway from that?
Psychologically, it's maybe about becoming more comfortable with change, with uncertainty, with impermanence. Because that is the fundamental nature of things, according to both physics and mystics. Resisting change is like trying to swim against the current of the Tao. Maybe learning to flow with it is wiser.
Makes sense.
And a third theme.
This one's about knowing itself. The limits of language and rational thought. Both modern physics and Eastern mysticism find that ordinary language and even purely logical reasoning kind of breaks down when trying to describe ultimate reality.
How so?
Well, physics relies on mathematics, which is abstract, and its concepts often defy common sense. Mystics often resort to paradox, metaphor, poetry, or silence because direct description fails. It suggests that intuition, direct experience, might be necessary alongside reason to grasp the deepest truths. Science itself points beyond the purely rational. The book has some really memorable lines that try to capture this synthesis. Could we touch on a few key ideas or quotes?
Absolutely. Capra has a real knack for crystallizing these big ideas.
Okay, maybe the most famous one. The cosmic dance of Shiva is the dance of subatomic matter.
Yeah, that one just instantly connects the ancient symbol to the cutting edge of science. Makes physics feel alive, almost sacred.
Then there's the one about the implications of quantum theory. Quantum theory has thus demolished the classical concepts of solid objects and of an objective reality independent of the observer.
That really nails the philosophical shift. It confirms reality isn't just out there separate from us. It's participatory. Our observation shapes it.
And finally, maybe the overall thesis statement. The modern physicist, like the Eastern mystic, has come to see the world as a system of inseparable, interacting, and ever-moving components of which the observer is an integral part.
That sums it up beautifully. Two different paths, empirical science and intuitive mysticism, arriving at a remarkably similar vision of a unified, dynamic, participatory reality.
Okay, so what does this all mean? Let's bring it down to earth. How might these ideas actually apply in our lives?
Well, the most obvious application, perhaps, is an environmental consciousness.
How so?
If you truly internalize this idea of interconnectedness, that you're not separate from nature but a part of this vast ecological web, then harming the environment isn't just some abstract ethical issue. It's literally harming yourself, harming the system you depend on. It naturally fosters a deeper sense of enological responsibility.
Right. It shifts from us versus nature to us as nature. Mm-hmm. What about other areas?
It strongly promotes holistic problem solving. Systems thinking, basically. Capra argues that the fragmented view leads to fragmented solutions that often fail or create new problems.
Like just treating symptoms in medicine without looking at the whole person. Mm-hmm. Or trying quick economic fixes without addressing underlying social systems.
Exactly. Whether it's health, business, social policy, this worldview encourages looking at the whole system, the relationships, the complex interplay of factors, rather than just tackling isolated parts. You need integrated approaches for integrated problems.
For me, thinking through all this, the most surprising thing, or maybe the most impactful, is really digging into that observer effect. The fact that rigorous empirical science in the 20th century ended up concluding that the strict separation between observer and observed, which was like the bedrock of Western science since Descartes, is fundamentally flawed at the deepest level. That feels like more than just a finding. It's a potential shift in consciousness itself.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's really the ultimate message Capra wanted to convey with the Tao of physics, that these two major ways humans have tried to understand reality, the rational scientific path and the intuitive mystical path, that aren't enemies. They aren't even necessarily separate. They can be seen as complementary approaches, both pointing towards the same fundamental truths about a universe that is unified, constantly flowing, and deeply participatory. For anyone feeling caught between, you know, a scientific education and a deeper spiritual longing, this book offers a powerful, intellectually honest bridge.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Yekatra Foundation.